it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
Hey, what's going on? It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions, and I believe this is going to be coming up here on almost episode 100, since I did things from what I built out as a studio, a makeshift studio down underneath the stairs. So I would love to get back into the studio, and I'm promising every band, we're going to get you back into the studio. We're going to have an actual episode of the radio show the way it should be done. But we're doing things, you know, as what we can right now. You know, obviously things are still a little strange. Shows have started opening up. People are still doing, you know, obviously being as safe as we can. I just went and saw the Black Dahlia Murder, and everyone was masked up but moshing. It was quite an experience.
Right on.
But the band that I'm speaking right now with is Variations. Welcome to the show, guys.
Yeah, thank Hello. You.
Thanks for having us.
Before we go into it, people can't see right now, but let's just jump in and tell me what your name is and what you do in Variations. So let's start with you, Ben.
Yeah. So my name's Ben Todd, last name. I play guitar, sing in Variations. Is that as much as you want at this point?
Yeah. We'll dig deeper. We'll dig deeper in just a few.
I am Ricky. I play drums and I do very minimal singing.
Cool.
And I'm Chad. I play bass and do vocals. And Ricky should mention he records us as well.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes, I do. I do all of our production.
Nice. Awesome. Do you do production for other bands too, or is this just for your own projects? Or
yes, but I'm in three bands regularly, and I mean. Chad and I have been playing music now for like a decade, and Chad's been in tons of bands, so I've recorded a bunch of his bands. So I've done a bunch of bands that I'm not in, but they're still kind of in the loop.
Absolutely. What are your other bands? Let's.
Oh goodness.
You know, mention your bands.
I have another band called White Shark Cafe that I've been in for about 5 or 6 years now. And we're like, yeah, I suppose you'd call us kind of like a psychedelic rock wannabe kind of thing going on.
Sure.
And then I play in another group that I consider it kind of like a 90s throwback. It's called cool. Last Waves.
Okay.
So those are the two groups that I'm in right now, or the three groups, sorry, including Variations.
Awesome. Ben, what about you, man? Are you in any other projects or?
No, not currently. Just this. But Ricky didn't mention Keaton Collective before that. Mm. You guys ran that for what, a good 7 years? And you recorded all of those albums as well.
I did, yeah. Chad and I have been in the band for a long time. Yep.
It was pretty nuts. But like before this band, I had a band called Fight for Change, and that band was something where I had a bunch of material that we didn't kind of finish, and I never recorded. And so with these guys, it was kind of like, hey, I got these songs. Would you guys like to jump on, put your taste on it? Because it was just single vocals at the time, and I wanted more with it. And then Chad,
yeah,
I mean, he puts out so much vocally. He's done a bunch of vocals in other bands, which actually here, you forgot to toss it over to you.
All right. Well, moving on to Chad, what about you? What do you do in the band, and what are your other bands?
Yeah. I do bass and backup vocals mainly, but a few lead things and Yeah, I'm also in Chrome Lakes and Witch Ripper, which we did the interview with you just
literally
a bit
just
ago.
A couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So those are the main things I do. I have another project with another buddy from an old band called the Braille Tapes. And, you know, that all leads into, you know, Ben and Ricky. They both, you know, have been a part of that stuff and have helped record it. So yeah, there's a long lineage of all the bands we've been through together at this point.
So Chad, what do you say we meet up for a podcast next week with Chrome Lakes? I mean, might as well.
It sounds good to me.
So let's get the backstory here about all you guys coming together. You know, how long, let's get kind of like the origin story, if you would. How long has the band been together and when did you start and what brought you guys together as a, you know, like a power trio to do this band?
Well, let's see. You guys can jump in. I'll start with, I played in another punk rock band back in the day and kind of bumped into Chad playing mm-hmm. in another band that I just dug their band, thought it sounded really good. Kind of chatted with him a little bit down the road, kind of bumped into him. I think it was like an Alkaline Trio or Hot Water Music show or something.
Yeah.
And so I recognized him like, hey, dude, I was working on an EP for the Fight for Change band. Mm-hmm. And he had his Never Again band at the time. And I was asking him, hey, would you like to do a split? And so we threw out a split, you know, kind of threw it around locally. And then we kind of did separate stuff. Chad played in Fight for Change for a little bit.
Yeah. So after that, I joined the band with you. And then we kind of went our separate ways again for a while. But I would always have Ben on, you know, all of my Braille tapes recordings. He would always come up and record and we just kept in touch. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the meantime, after that, Ricky and I were playing together. So,
yeah. But, and I came up when I met Ricky, when you guys were doing the Braille tapes, Meat is Murder, right?
Yeah.
And
Robot Meat.
Yes. What am I thinking? I'm thinking of something else. Yeah. Anyway, I just went up there and he had a bunch of lines to sing and it mm-hmm. was kind of out of context. I just didn't really know what direction these songs were going. So
sure.
it was kind of a rush gig with me and Ricky where Chad had to go somewhere. Don't remember, but
we're like moonlighting that record. Chad was working like 7 to 3 or 4 in the afternoon. We would record every night from midnight to like 5 in the morning. Chad would sleep for an hour and then go to work. But there was one of these times where Ben came up to do a line and Chad was like, all right,
do a line, Ricky, like, this is do a line on the album or do a line.
Do a line and then do a line on the album. But he's like, Ricky, Ben, Ricky, cool. Figure it out later. And took off.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how Ben and I met. But I would say the first time we really jammed. So Chad and I were in a band for a long time with Keaton.
Yeah.
And probably like halfway through that band, him and I just started branching off and doing random music stuff together. So we made an album with a friend of ours named Caleb, where it was a friend of ours that had songs and Chad and I were just the rhythm section and just kind of played the songs, wrote songs with him. Then we tracked it all. And him and I, Chad and myself, started getting more and more doing that with just random buddies, just constantly working on projects. And at a certain point, he's like, you know, Ben from the lines that we recorded, he's got a band and he's got a killer voice and like he's got good songs. Let's give Ben the same treatment. Let's play songs with him. So we initially kind of started it as like a record project. Mm-hmm. But as we wrote the songs and jammed more and got our first full length together, we decided to record it and we just kind of liked it. And I think, well, when we were done with the record, we kind of all looked at each other like, did we just start a band?
Yeah.
let's just be a band, you know?
Yeah.
So it never really was the intention, but I think that's the thing about the three of us is that we just get along real well. Sure. Music comes real naturally with our dynamics. So right. There was never really much thought into it. We played, it felt good. And then we just kind of kept going from there.
Right. Yeah. And there's a lot of shared history, you know, Ben and I now go back 15 years and Rick and I go back, you know, over 10 years now.
Yeah.
So we did things separately. And then once we came together, it just felt natural because there was already this shared language and, you know, styles of music that we all like together. And like I said, him and Ben were, you know, passing and starting to get to know each other. So it just felt natural when we started the band.
Nice. Right on. Well, I like that. excuse me. So a couple weeks back when I was talking with Chad's other band, Witch Ripper, that he recently joined, we were discussing, you know, what it's like to get back to playing a show after 18 months of and everything of like, you know, maybe just practicing or writing music or just sometimes not even any of that. Have you guys played a first show back yet?
No,
not yet. Not coming up, right? In November, I think we have.
Yeah, one. We're supposed to have one in November, mid-November. Yeah, Chad's played a couple shows. You could answer more to that.
Yeah.
Well,
it's kind of funny because Chad had shows and then my other band had shows. Chad's shows didn't get canceled. My band's shows did get canceled. So it's been a little bit of kind of both. But yeah, Chad has had more success with that recently for sure.
Yeah, they've been good. And, you know, we were kind of holding off on playing one with Variations because we've been wrapping up this record and just getting it finished up. So we're, you know, close to a new full length.
Right. Yeah. We put a lot of time into that.
Yeah.
Pretty much instead of getting ready for shows, just because it really like booking just kind of opened up.
Yeah.
2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say whether, you know, cross our fingers. We hope for the best.
Exactly.
Right.
And said everyone stay safe, but.
Yeah,
like kind of weird, but you kind of answered my next question then. So I was going to ask, like, you know, what have you guys done to stay busy and obviously working on a record? Were these songs that you had ready before the pandemic, or were they all, you know, pandemic songs? Tell me a little bit about that.
They were actually mostly done before the shutdown. So we've always kind of gone in a cycle of like, we'll put together songs, we record a record, and then we just play a bunch. Mm-hmm. So we go through different phases of like being really locked in as far as rehearsals go and playing actual songs. And then as we focus more on the recording, that part kind of wanes a little bit because we're focused on putting the album together. So then there's always a couple months of knocking the rust off after we're done recording because we've kind of taken a break from that.
Yeah.
But this break was extra extended because there was no show to get ready for.
Mm-hmm.
And when I feel like this happens to a lot of guys in bands, when you're focused on a record, you tend to not want to think further ahead with that band.
Sure.
It's sort of like, you're not necessarily writing new songs. You're not rehearsing for shows. You're just focusing on getting the record done and your brain doesn't go to that point. And because that wait after the record got recorded was so long after, and with the shutdown, and everything, we never flipped back into the zone of like, oh, we got to get our chops back, you know?
Yeah.
So actually that just recently started happening in the last month or two and definitely knocking the rust off. It feels like a long nap, really.
Nice.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, you know, with this new record, like, yeah, we were getting pretty close to being ready to record it
right before
the shutdown stuff happened. And so once that happened, we like took a little bit of a break and we were like, well, shoot, how should we record this? And Ricky was just like, I'm going to go into our practice space and bang out all of the drum tracks on my own.
Yeah.
And that's what he did in a day. And so then we were like, well, I guess we're DIYing this one, you know? So
yeah,
we did it all at our practice space. Except for the vocals, we did all it in my basement here at my house. So,
all right.
We just really tried to take advantage of the fact that, you know, we have these tools at our disposal. This is where we can do it right now with everything happening. We didn't necessarily want to get into a studio at the time. So we just started building it on our own.
I mean, technology is to the point where you can make a freaking awesome record just on a regular computer. And that's awesome.
And I mean, that's always been our thing is, you know, DIY as much as we can.
Yep.
So, you know, it just made sense.
Well, what can you tell me about the album? Is it going to be a full length? Is it an EP? Or what can we expect as far as amount of material?
It's 9 songs. It is a full length. It's about a half hour long. So we like to dabble in the world of shorter songs at times.
Sure.
So it's a mix of stuff. But I think going into this one, we actually consciously decided we wanted to do an album. Our last two releases were EPs, which was a fun way to do it. Before we got sick of the songs, we were able to record them and release them and play them.
Sure.
I feel like when you record an album, you almost have a couple songs in your back pocket for a long time before the whole thing's ready.
Yeah.
So that's just not how we approached it the last few, but this one we kind of decided we're going to make a record. So yeah, we fleshed out all these songs and made it a point to have a little bit of a more extended experience with it.
Cool. Right on. Well, assuming that, well, maybe this is an assumption that you didn't go crazy during the pandemic, and I probably asked Chad this already, so humor me with some of these questions I might be repeating from my Witch Ripper interview. But what's something that you did, you know, besides the band to stay from going crazy during the pandemic? What did you fill your time with? Maybe work or family or... You know, what'd you do?
I actually bought a house last year. So oh,
congratulations.
Thank you. I closed on a home in September, and I think anybody that's bought a house knows that that's not a quick procedure. So I spent most of my shutdown time looking at houses and doing that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So that once, and then once we got in the house, I went back to work and hasn't really been as much downtime for me.
Sure.
As I think some other, because I don't work from home. I had to go right back into the workforce. So
what do you do for your day job besides the glamorous life of a rock star?
I am actually, I'm a professional body piercer.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Yeah. You want to shout out the place that you work?
Yeah. Yeah. It's my family business. My mother-in-law owns it. My wife is a manager. We work together. It's called Silver Safari. It's at the Alderwood Mall in Linwood.
Killer.
Yeah. We've been there for like 5 years now, and yeah, love it. It's a great job. It's super fun.
Killer. Right on. And Ben, what about you, man? What did you do to stay from going crazy?
Well, so, I mean, we were mentioning that these songs were written, but I had a lot of lyrics I hadn't finished. And
sure.
there's a couple of tracks on there that had quite a bit of words. And so outside of work, because my wife and I work a bakery deli in Lakewood.
What's the name of it?
Steeped in Comfort.
Cool.
It used to be like a tea room thing. It's something, it was in the family. My mom, my parents purchased, my wife partnered up, and then they left. And then my wife and I have been doing this for 7 years or so, something like this.
Cool.
But so that's really busy running that, figuring that all out. So that's, we stayed open through the whole pandemic.
Wow.
Figured that out. So yeah.
And Chad, what about you, man? I feel like you probably already answered this, but might as well.
I did other things.
Skateboarded. That's right. You skated.
Still do that a lot. Yeah, for sure. But other things, I don't know. My wife and I did a lot of karaoke in the living room. That really kept us occupied on those weekend nights when we couldn't go and do anything. So
what'd your neighbors
think? That
was
a lot of fun. I have no idea. No one's came knocking yet. So
okay. Nice. All right. All right. Well, we're going to go into a song here from the Variations Make It Last album that came out in 2019. So these aren't the brand new songs, but this is the newest that we have access to at this point. So we're going to go into the song called Reconnect. Anyone want to jump in and tell me or introduce the song? Tell me what it's about or, you know, maybe an influence for the song.
Yeah, sure. Let me think. So trying to kind of spin out how the song goes in my head. It's more of a kind of a shout out to where the passion for playing music, from going to shows when I was younger to, why I'm doing it now. Having something to leave behind, you know, when you're not around anymore. So roughly, right. That's at the top, off the top of my head.
Yeah. Right on. All right. Well, it's Variations with Reconnect here on Loud & Local Stay Home Sessions. Should be about living life in commonality. was Reconnect by Variations here on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. I'm talking with these guys and we're all in separate, you know, rooms and whatnot. But I guess now is a good time to ask, where are you guys? Chad, where are you located?
I'm in my home in Wedgwood here in North Seattle.
All right. Right on. Ricky, are you up in near Alderwood?
I am. I'm actually right next to Alderwood Mall. I live in Linwood. Yeah, that's where cool. I just set the roots down.
Right on. And how about you, Ben?
I'm all the way down in Shelton, Washington right now.
Okay. Wow, dude. All right. So where do you guys practice?
In Seattle. It's right. You guys know that.
The place is called, it's called Groove Box. It's like like First Hill, 12th and Spruce.
But you make right the drive across. Up, Ben?
Yeah. Generally, I'll leave from work. So it's like a 45-minute drive. Not too bad.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a commute. I mean, we talk about when we first got together to record the first album.
Yeah,
we did a rough track recording. I drove all the way up to Bellingham.
Yeah,
Sheldon. Okay. So better than that.
And we hammered it out. What I think in two weekends was it?
Yeah,
I mean, it was. We played a lot of hours that weekend. Those two weekends, we were just 8 to 10 hours straight.
Yeah.
Headaches, bad headaches at the end. I remember that.
We powered through it. But I remember Ben would show up and he's like, cool, I have this song. And then he plays a fully formed song with every part written, has all the vocals all ready to go. And it was sort of like, oh my God, this is so easy. We just have to play along. Hell yeah. All right. So there was, it was long days, but it was easy work.
Nice.
Yeah. I was bouncing them up, little demo tracks with like electronic drums just to kind of paint the picture of what it was supposed to be like. Yeah. And then Ricky just like these guys, they take the material and just like whip it together. Like
nice.
Like nothing. I didn't really have to direct anything because Ricky put so much taste. I'm not a drummer. And the stuff I was sending him was just kind of reference of like,
sure,
maybe, you know,
basic
tempo stuff or ideas. Yeah. And then he just ran with it and puts a bunch of taste and flavor on it, as well as Chad with all the vocal stuff, the harmonies and stuff that he puts in. Yeah.
Nice.
You make it easy, Ben.
Yeah.
You guys are too nice.
So I'm going to throw a couple questions here at you that are totally unprepared. So if you take some time, if you need to, but I'm going to ask you guys, since we're doing a local show, it's a Northwest focused show. What is your favorite or favorites Northwest bands of all time? And it could be bands that have been broken up, bands that have, you know, had members pass away, current bands, underground bands, huge bands, just favorite bands from the Northwest. And whoever wants to jump in, go ahead and start it.
I mean, honestly, that's a pretty easy one for me. Huge Minus the Bear fan.
Okay. All right.
I was also like a big Botch fan, just a big fan of that group of dudes. So I grew up in LA and I actually had always wanted to move to Seattle, mostly because I knew that's where Minus the Bear was from.
Nice.
All of my friends growing up, it was always like, you know, Nirvana, Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, and no disrespect to any of that stuff, but that's not what got me excited about the Northwest. For me, it was always Minus the Bear. That was all absolutely right. The first one on my list. But I would say my favorite local band, I don't want to say Chad's bands because that's cheating, but we played a show with Reader and they blew my mind, man.
Reader?
They are Reader, yeah.
Check them out.
Andy, is it Andy King, right?
Yeah.
He plays in a million bands. He does a festival every year at Numo's. It's like all of his bands play on the same day in the bill. It's like an entire show. But he is just a giant beast of a man, but he's a badass drummer. And they're very cool.
Reader. Awesome.
Yeah, you got to check them out.
Yeah.
Right on. Chad, what about you, man?
For me, Northwest bands. So I would say like my original Seattle band at first was Pearl Jam. Mm-hmm. Like that when I was, you know, young kid living an hour away from Seattle, I was like, wow, that's the shit. And then, but I would say like once I finally got to Seattle and saw bands like Waxwing was the one that really did it for me. Cause I'd already seen Rocky do his solo thing and I didn't know about Waxwing yet. And then I all of a sudden was like, wait, that's Rocky up there. And then they just killed. Yeah. So that I saw them at the Paradox, you know, back in the day. And that was a big one for me.
Did Dude, I went to the last Waxwing show at the Redmond Firehouse. But yes. Get this. Me and my friend Nathan, you guys might know Nathan Hansen from Bellingham. Okay, anyways. Well, we went there and we were super stoned. We had just smoked like a fat blunt in Redmond parking lot, like you do when you're teenagers. We were just so blazed. And we show up and we're in line and it sold out one person in front of us.
Oh, man.
Last Waxwing show ever.
Oh man, what a nightmare.
Way to ruin your high too. Jesus.
We're like, well, I guess we're going to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks, man. Well, right. Maybe they'll do one again someday.
Yeah. Probably not. Ben, what about you, man?
Oh, let's see. I mean, the obvious Pearl Jam, Nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
MXPX was a band I was really into when I was younger.
Man,
off the top of my head, I'm probably basically what these two mentioned. I know there's more, but I'm having a blank.
You got really into Modest Mouse for a while there.
Oh yeah. I forgot. Yeah, definitely Modest Mouse. It's been so many years, so many bands, I can't remember them all.
Yeah.
And then who's been around?
The Keaton Collective, naturally.
If you go there, I mean, you got the Braille Tapes, Keaton Collective.
All encompassing.
Autumn Poetry was great.
Oh, yeah.
There's other ones in there. I just can't, yeah. Never Again. I really liked Shook Never
Ones.
Again.
Bellingham Band, Shook Ones. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yep.
They're great.
Yeah,
I saw Shook Ones up in Bellingham with Andrew WK. That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
At the Viking Union, dude.
I was at that show.
Yeah, dude.
I forgot to mention the Pale Pacifica. Oh, they were Cameron that was in that band actually recorded the Fight for Change album.
Cool.
I'm trying to remember the local bands. I want to mention them for sure.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. So we're going to go into another one that I'm going to set you up for. And hopefully this one will be a little easier for you to remember. This one is, even if it's embarrassing, I want you to admit, what's the first physical CD, tape, record, or whatever piece of music that you purchased with your own money? Mine was No Doubt Tragic Kingdom. So no shame from me. What about you guys? What was your first album you ever purchased with your own money?
Easy Dookie.
Okay. Classic.
I remember buying it before like a flight. I was visiting family in Florida and I had my little Discman and my parents let me buy a CD for the trip. And I spent the entire flight just staring at the album art, picking out all the funny little Where's Waldo Easter eggs on it.
With the monkey and he says throw.
Yeah, man. Yep. Exactly.
Yep. Wait, did you have the 30-second anti-skip on that CD player?
You know what? No, it was a cheap one. I got a like Radio Shack.
It was only skips. All right. What about you, Chad? What was your first album you ever purchased?
So are we talking tape or are we talking CD?
Any physical. Yeah. CD, tape,
man,
whatever.
I think the first tape was probably like Disney's Aladdin or something.
It's got some hits.
But yeah. CD
never
wise.
Met a friend like me.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And I think CD wise, it was either Hootie and the Blowfish.
I only
want
to be with you.
Silverchair Frog Stomp, which I want to believe it's Silverchair, but it was probably Hootie and the Blowfish first.
They probably played some festivals together in the 90s. I guarantee it.
Probably.
Yeah. Ben, what about you, man?
Let's see. So I was given Dookie. I was given an MXPX album, their first one I actually purchased myself was that 311.
Okay.
What was the title? That, you know which one it is. I don't know.
It's gotta be the Blue Album.
That's the first one I purchased myself.
All right, right on.
I remember when I was a kid, my dad was on like the Columbia Music House Ponzi scheme.
10 CDs for a dollar or whatever.
10 CDs for a dollar, and then they charge you like a month later for all of them, basically.
Yes.
And yeah, I remember getting the 311 Blue Album. I remember getting Duke Bush 16 Stone.
Oh, yeah.
So if we mix Dookie, we mix a little Silverchair, and then what was yours, Ben?
311.
311, then you get variations, right?
Exactly.
Silver 100%. Chair, Green Day, 311, you get variations.
Yes, 100%.
I like it. The Witch's Brew. All right, well, we're going to go into another song here. This is We Set Fires by Variations. We'll be back with more from them in just a moment.
Take it slow. Expected to come back to where it started from. We set fires when we were young. Just fine when we ignored the patient. They're killing ties. We won't try to help, we'll watch it die. Now I know the feeling.
That was We Set Fires here by Variations on Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. And I'm curious, where can we support you guys right now? What's the best way to listen to your music that'll help you guys out the most and support you guys, whether it be follow you guys online or listen to the music?
I suppose the most convenient for everybody would just be Spotify. I think for us, we just like knowing that people are listening, right? That's sure. That's the biggest thing. So that'd be the best way to hear it. But we always have a Bandcamp. You can always purchase digital files online, and that's probably the best way. We have like physical copies of stuff. We don't have any like LPs or anything, but I think we do have like purchase links on the Bandcamp. So if you really wanted to buy one, snail mail, it could happen.
Yeah,
make it happen.
yeah, and then what else side? Do you have your Facebook? There's an Instagram page.
Yeah, we got an Instagram, got Facebook.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Spotify, I want to mention. So yeah, all the streaming stuff, really. Apple, Apple Music. Most any of those, the albums are on there. And when we release the new one, we'll put it on there as well.
Yeah.
All right. Well, just a warning. Apparently, there's like a year long wait on vinyl if you wanted to press the new album on vinyl. So
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see.
I think we're gonna wait on that for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, right on, guys. You have any shout outs or thank yous you'd like to send out to anyone who might be listening?
Man, well, I just want to post. I just want to say first, like, can't wait for everyone to hear the new record when we're done. It's called From Riches to Rust. Awesome. And we're really stoked on it. And yeah, gonna be out soon.
Can you give us
November
a date
here?
November.
Well, I think we want to have it out by our show on November 12th at El Corazon.
Well, it's not officially announced yet. I don't know. They told me not to announce that one yet.
Well, this is coming out in a few weeks. So.
But we're trying to get it done before that. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is coming out in a few weeks. It's not coming out like right now. So
no. Yeah. We're pretty much in the finishing stages. Like mix is done. Tracking is done. It's still waiting to get mastered, and we got our friend working on our album art right now. So pretty soon, probably next handful of weeks, we'll have a track up, and hopefully by November we could have it released.
Yeah.
Right on. Cool, guys. Well, I appreciate you chatting with me today. And again, the band is called Variations. Add them on social media and stay updated with their new music. I'm excited to hear it. In the meantime, we're going to go into the song Promise. You guys got anything you want to say about this one? Actually, you know what? Screw that. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who's going to raise their hand and be the cheesy radio DJ? I'm going to shut up and someone's got to introduce this in the cheesiest radio DJ way possible. Who's going to do
that? Oh, goodness. I can take a swing. All right. Next up, we have Promise by Variations. That's all I got.
All right. Good. Nice. All right. It's Loud and Local. Stay home seconds.
The same. We can't erase the path I was leading, taking comfort in chasing fame. I have myself to blame. Conflicts arise while actively faking that this burden was just my own. I see that you're sleeping alone with the TV on. We can't erase the path I was leading you on. Sure took a toll on things. I love you more than you'll know. Complacent, well, I hope so. I told you to wait. The moment it happened.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.